Hi, I'm Otto. Welcome to Erin Sarah's podcast.
Okay, ready to start?
Oh, leave it to Erin to just jump right in.
This is like a Vanity Fair article where we're always recording.
I mean, good to know. I expected nothing less.
So we pay attention to everything from the very beginning.
By the way, speaking of Vanity Fair, and I don't mean to start with a clang, I did run into an Oscar winner last night who said to say hi to you. So I'll
tell
pass
us
that
who
offline.
Timothy Chalamet.
It wasn't Timothy Chalamet. I ran into Reese Witherspoon last night, who of course is the sweetest person on the planet, and she actually knows me as Erin Foster's bestie on Instagram. So that's like a little bit of a clang. So it's obviously my entire identity is because of you both. So
I was just saying, where am I in this?
Right,
she's my friend,
top.
Not Erin's.
I'm glad you acknowledge that, Charles. That brings us
to... hold on. Oh. Why was I not mentioned? As I just said, she's not friends with Erin. She's friends with me.
Well, I did mention the Foster sisters as a whole, so I just want to make sure that you know that was the context.
But it just doesn't seem like she was thinking about you.
I do appear with Erin, and I was her plus one for, what, almost 2 decades? So, we got around.
No need to age us, Charles.
We'll be editing that out.
Perfect.
So Charles Porch, we have you here. First of all, Charles is an avid listener of the pod.
Since the beginning, by the way.
Since the beginning, you've always been very supportive. And we've been excited to have Charles on, as my best friend for a long time, and B, as someone who works at Instagram. People have a lot of questions.
He doesn't just work at Instagram. You talk about him like he's in some portal, He doesn't just work at Instagram. He is very powerful at Instagram.
Well, I didn't say he's not powerful at Instagram. I just said he works there, which is
true.
It
was just very cavalier. Like, oh, and Charles, he works at the,
Well, I like to just try to keep him humble. You know what I mean?
Can I add a third reason why it's good that I'm here? I am a really big admirer of Sarah's, and
I actually
do think Sarah and I have always had a bond. So I think that's another important reason for me to be here. I'm also,
a Sarah
defender.
Need you to be on this episode. We don't need this episode, actually.
Oh, we do. Keep going, Charles. Keep going. Don't stop.
Well, I just as a very early listener of this podcast. By the way, I was thinking about it today. Remember, you all had a call-in line where you could leave voicemails about what you wanted to hear on the pod. Mm-hmm. I called in. I left a voicemail. I remember that.
You did?
I feel like sometimes Sarah gets a bad rap on the podcast, and I have to say, she has been nothing but kind, supportive, and amazing to me over the years. I really have to give her some credit on that. Sorry if I'm coming in too hot. Erin,
you're just coming in with the wrong kind of content.
I know people are listening. Your face is terrifying right now, and I know this face well, but we're gonna work through.
I'm not loving the energy you're bringing to this conversation so far, Charles. I thought we should have done like a pep talk before this.
That's true. Good point.
Because you know what, Charles? We are not aligned right now.
We're not aligned. Our favorite phrase. Yeah. What I will say, can I throw some shade though? I did expect Sarah to be in her robe, and she's not. You've actually upgraded to sweats. Are those favorite daughter?
Mm-hmm.
The top is favorite daughter. Thank you for that plug, by the way. I mean, what a friend. Complimenting my clothing brand.
No complimenter of yours is a friend of mine. That's not how this works.
I think it's important to say we have three loyal listeners of friends. Sophia Rossi, Charles Porch, Greg Berlanti.
And Julie Yorn.
We have four. Does Julie listen to every episode?
She told me she does.
Okay. We have four loyal besties.
Yeah,
I do feel like that's a very solid group for a loyal
It is a solid group. All right. If I can please give us some structure here, because Sarah's not great at that, and it appears you're not either, Charles. So let's begin at the beginning, okay? Charles and I have been best friends since... I think it's about almost 20 years.
Yep.
And we became friends because we were assistants together. I was more of an intern at Warner Brothers Records. And Charles was an assistant in the marketing department. And I pretty much had a fake job there. Wouldn't you say?
How's that possible?
Listen, I mean, you did drink a lot of coffee, if that's a job, mm-hmm. and not from a barista perspective, but you did add a lot of vibe, I have to say.
I did.
You were a very pleasant coworker and colleague.
Yeah, and I'll be very honest. The job came purely through nepotism. our dad was the vice president of Warner Brothers at the time, yeah. and I needed a job, and it was my first job out of school. And he went to the new media company, which is sort of like what's known as digital now, and said, "Can you please hire my daughter? She needs a job." He said to them, "I want you to treat her like any other employee. Like if she fucks up, if she does something wrong, you fire her just like you would fire anybody else."
Oh, well, that's realistic.
And everyone was like, "Of course, Mr. Foster, of course we'll fire her right away." And then my job began and I would go up to all these people and be like, "Is there anything you need me to do?" And they'd be like, "No, just hang out. You're good." They literally would not, nobody would give me anything to do other than like maybe like mailing packages out so I could like, cause I couldn't mess that up. And so I would always come to Charles's desk and be like, "Let's go get coffee across the street." And he'd be like, "No, I have a job. Like, I can't do that."
In fact, I would get in trouble if I left too much.
Yeah,
to you like, Charles wasn't allowed back, to. I didn't give you any work either. And now I should have done that. I should have enlisted you.
Yeah, you should have. But Charles like wasn't allowed to leave his desk. And I had nothing to do at my desk other than go on MySpace.
Great parenting.
But well, he did try to be a good parent.
But can I say
something?
But
they just wouldn't cooperate.
My version of this story is like pretty crazy. And it's so weird how the universe and the world works, but really the reason I know both of you is because of Craigslist. So I was in Northern California. I knew no one in LA, in the music industry, in Hollywood, anything. And after college, I came to LA in my grandmother's old station wagon. Erin took many a ride in that car. She was very embarrassed by it. That was the car at the time. And I rented a room off of Craigslist in a house, and the landlady knew someone at Warner who got me an internship, and that's how I got in the door. And then who was the other person? It was Erin. And that's how I met you all. And then I really knew almost no one in LA, and the Foster family took me in like nothing I've ever seen. And it just kind of grew from there. And it was it's really weird to think about that.
What was Erin really like? Because, like, tell us, like, the real. Like, little weird, a little, you know, indie. Or, like, what was your first impression of her?
Erin was lost at that time, in my opinion.
Was very lost.
She was also a redhead, which we can talk a little bit about later.
It just tells you someone's lost. If you're dyeing your hair red, you're already lost.
Well, looking back, I feel like, and Erin, you agree or disagree with me on this, you didn't actually know what you wanted, I think. So
no clue.
That was the first thing. And I think also at that time, you wanted to mold yourself based on who you were dating and who that person was to find your identity instead of embracing your own.
I was doing that too. Yeah. And Charles watched me become so many different people. And he was with me through a long relationship with somebody that I met when I was working at Warner Brothers Records. And he like kind of worked in that world. And it was such a draining relationship, I think, for Charles to be even exposed to, because I was kind of in like a deep depression / anxiety riddled state for the entirety of the relationship, and probably like took it out on you the entire time.
Well, it was a dark time. I think the scariest thing about that relationship is that you were a little dead behind the eyes. I'll never forget that.
Really was.
And then after, the light came back, and actually that breakup was a low. I feel like you were completely despondent on your bed. I just have this memory of that. But actually, you had to go through that to get to the other side. Yeah. And then that's when Hella Giggles came. That's when the writing came. It really started to move after that.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't particularly associating with you two at this time. So
not
who
at
are
all.
We talking about? I actually don't know who we're talking about.
Oh, well, we don't need to say his name. But
Just tell me. Oh, yeah.
It was those times. Dark times. To place it in your mind, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dark times. But Charles and I were really, I don't even know what my world was like at that time, but we just became like family. We spent so much time. We were kind of losers. We spent a lot of time with my mom and her partner, Ron Fujikawa, before he passed away. Those were our two best friends for a really long time. And every weekend, that's who we'd like go to movies with and spend our time with. And
we were couple friends. It was beautiful.
Where was I?
We were literally couples friends with them. Like, that was our couples friends.
I mean, honestly, Aaron at the time, we both had $20 to our name. So we also, they really fed us.
Needed someone to
well.
Pay us. We needed someone to buy us dinner, honestly.
And they're great dinner companions. They always were. I got a hand in. And to this day, your mother and I, you know, we have a special bond.
No, Charles, you're like a part, you're a part of the family. Like when our mom just had her 70th birthday, it was me, Tommy, Aaron, Simon, the kids, and Charles. Like that was my mom's 70th birthday. And you guys have been friends for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I think Charles is someone in your life who has been like such a constant and so supportive and all those things, but he also like calls you on your shit. I think he's also somebody that you know you can go to like get a real sort of answer or redirection. I don't see him as like, you know, you have a few people in your life who are just like, oh my God, yeah, you're amazing. You're amazing. And Charles is like, you're actually not amazing. Like you really need to deal with this
shit. Well, for the record, Charles does think I'm amazing.
I do. I think.
Thank you.
Can I add, you go first, Aaron, and then I'm going to add to
I was just going to say that I think that Charles, and I don't know if it's because you're a guy, so it's different than being friends with girls, but no matter how much drama was happening in my life, even if I was venting to Charles about it, he never really like stoked the fires of drama. Anything that you say to Charles, he's kind of like, well, you know, that sucks. Or like, well, you got to keep it moving. Well, you know, this is, that's what it is.
He
doesn't play into it. So it was like, I would vent all that stuff out, but Charles was never like joining in with me. So it felt like he was always a neutral place for me to put my anxiety or my fears or my frustrations or my anger about everything. And like, and then I always could have like a fresh, clean start because Charles and I never, you know, got into drama together.
Yeah, I think it was all like for me, my natural instinct at all times is to how can we take the situation down a couple of notches and keep it calm so we can think through it and get to a solution. Now, that did not always make Aaron happy.
Nope.
There were times when she really wanted more from me in terms of reactions, etc. But what I will say, and this is, I will say this about Aaron, but I will say this about your whole family. And what I really appreciate is we've just always had such an easy friendship and an easy time. And it's just always flowed. And I think you don't always get that in life. And it's something super special. And it's one of the first things I think about when I think about you all and your family.
That's so nice.
And it is rare in 20 years that you guys have never had, like, you've never had,
had a falling out of it.
The friendship has never been tested in 20 years?
No, we've never had a falling out. I mean, I would get frustrated that he wouldn't give me more sometimes for sure when I was younger and needed, like, if I'm, like, mad about somebody or, like, fuck this or fuck that, like, I want him to be like, yeah, it's fucked up. And he would just be like, you know, wouldn't give me that much. But then now that I'm older and I see things more rationally, it's like, I'm so happy looking back that I didn't have a person sort of stirring that up even more because you can always find a reason to be mad about something or to be, you know, up in arms over something. When you have a friend that's kind of always like making it neutral, then it helps me come back to a neutral place.
And I have to give it to Aaron as well because that is the other special part of the friendship. And what I really appreciate about Aaron is Aaron has also pushed me as well on expressing more and emoting more and feeling more. Like, Aaron, and I, you know, you have such emotional intelligence on so many things, I think. So, for example, I wasn't coming out to my family early enough. Aaron really pushed me on that, but not in a way that was, like, so gentle. And she framed it as, isn't this the relationship you want to have, the life you want to have, things like that. And I think Aaron being much more emotive than I am that's why this friendship really works. I think we can both get each other to the right place.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that. I think that like for so long I knew that you're a very authentic person and you're a very genuine person and like you are not judgmental. So you don't really have people being judgmental of you. And so when I knew that there was like that missing piece in your life, I kept being like, I think you don't understand the depths of things you're missing right now. And the relationship with the people in your family that you could bring to that next level by them getting to know this other part of you. And you're not even a secretive person. So, you know, there was so many times that, you know, it's risky when you're having that conversation with someone being like, I want to push you to do this thing because I've never had to come out to someone. So it's like, it's selfish to think that, I mean, I did fake come out to my family.
You came out to all of us. What do you mean? You literally came out to all of us.
I know, but when I came out, everyone was like, okay, Aaron, well, how long is this going to last?
Including me, by the way, I was the only gay person in the conversation.
I was like, Tommy, Aaron's a lesbian. I mean, she just came out to me. So let's not, you know.
But Charles was like, cute, that's not a real coming out.
It was for me.
Sarah felt it.
I felt
it. Sarah felt it a lot more. But no, but it is true. It's been very helpful for us to both like make each other face that stuff, but it's never been combative. I have always pushed Charles because he's always positive. And I'm like, we got to get another layer out of you. So when Charles moved to San Francisco for Instagram for the job, he didn't have a lot of friends at first. He was a city that he was like out of his comfort zone. He missed LA. He missed his people. He missed like his routine. And he got this new layer of like angst. And I loved it. He was like annoyed at weather. And he was like, you know, missed the people he wanted to be with and the restaurants he wanted to go to. And I was like, I like this side of you. I like this side of you that's annoyed about something and like pissed and like misses, you know, is like homesick. It's like, I needed to see that new layer from Charles. Because he would go on dates and I'd be like, you can't sit on a date and just be like, everything's amazing all the time. You have to connect over some kind of like, you know,
obstacle.
Some kind of obstacle. Exactly.
So do you love it then when you, if you don't follow Charles on Instagram, you need to follow him for 1,000 reasons. But my favorite bit is this is a man who travels a lot. This is an uber successful, he's going to be humble, but this guy is like on the road all the time. And he chronicles his hatred for United and all the ways that they fuck up. And it is it's the most amazing follow. So do you relish in the obstacles he faces traveling all the time? Like that makes you happy that he's like out of his comfort zone?
I think he's a little too patient with what they put him through, but I appreciate the complaints.
Aaron really responds to torture and angst, and so I'm really trying to bring that more. And can I just say, it's so interesting so that content is actually hard for me to post, but people respond to it so much because I don't like to rock the boat and complain. And so I think it's just a challenge for me. But you know what? Aaron responds to it.
Clearly you're comfortable because you were like calling out the CEO publicly recently.
I saw that.
You were clearly comfortable.
They had someone meet me at the door of the plane in a complimentary way, in a nice way, which I appreciated.
That's really nice. Well, Charles, this is an area where I think, you know, people do have career questions. And I, you know, I look to what you hate, what I'm taking
this,
Sarah?
No, but I'm just like, we're getting into the flow. We're doing personal. We're like getting into the flow. And you just like, it's just abrupt.
I mean, you're just talking about United. That's not, is there something else
no,
you want to dig deeper?
No, I was tying it to him saying, like you saying how it's been like enjoyable for you to watch him come out of his comfort zone. Like we were really in a flow and you're like, all right, well, the audience has some questions about what it's like to work at Instagram. It's like, who cares?
I'm not doing that.
Okay.
Charles, do you have thoughts?
Charles, what do you think, Charles?
I mean,
who's right?
Well, the good thing that came out of the angst and the San Francisco move is that I basically moved into Aaron's house for a few years on the weekends.
I really liked that.
I literally flew to LA every week and we had many blissful times. We're basically a functioning couple, but with two bedrooms.
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to sleep with Charles for a really long time. I've been trying to see if he would turn for me, just have a baby with me or like something, because it really felt like it was never going to happen for me, obviously. And my backup plan was Charles, although he was never really a backup plan because he never actually said he wanted to do that with me. So
it's been an uncomfortable journey, but I like to think that I got Simon over the line as part of the package deal. And honestly, I've never been richer because I had to pay for everything for Aaron and she has this rule about people buying her dinner. And then now I've never been happier. So they're thriving. I'm thriving. Life is good.
You don't have to pick up the bill.
How much money do you think you've spent on Aaron? No, I'm actually serious. On hotels, on food, on things, like a million?
No, nothing like that. I mean, here's the thing about Erin. She never traveled. Do you remember? She never went anywhere. We were kind of the opposites on that. I feel like
she had no money.
Once the travel she had no money to go anywhere. Later, that really would have really added to the cost. It was a lot of dinner. Mm-hmm. She's not a huge drinker, you know, but she does like to share her food. So, you know, you really got to have separate orders for everyone. There's no small plates. There's no sharing. It really triggers something deep.
Yes. So, yeah, Charles would reach for my French fries. I'd be like, oh, do you want to order your own French fries? Because these are on my plate.
Okay, I think that Athletic Greens might be the most asked about product that my friends and family are like, should I go get Athletic Greens? Should I go get it? And I say to everyone, yes, you should get it. Sophia literally last night said, hey, by the way, I think that I should get Athletic Greens because these ads, they seep into people's brains and they work. And I like that. What do you think?
So I think people now know that like we're only talking about really awesome and effective companies. So I think people are trusting our ads because not to sound, you know, like an egomaniac, but we say no to a lot of brands.
You actually do sound like an egomaniac, but that is who you are. And I think you should be exactly who you are, Sarah. And Athletic Greens wants you to be yourself. Okay. They want you to be yourself. AG1 helps you be yourself and you are an egomaniac. And I think that that's totally okay. And so Athletic Greens, just to remind everyone, although you probably haven't memorized at this point, one scoop of AG1 contains 75 vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, a multimineral, probiotic, green superfood blend, and more all in one scoop. You just put it in water or like juice and it has bioavailable ingredients. They all work together to fill all the nutritional gaps in your diet. It supports energy and focus and gut health and digestion. It's literally everything that you would
possibly need. Are you trying to get healthier? Are you trying to reach the next level of optimizing your health and feeling good and looking good? This is a great way to start because it is so easy. It's one scoop. There you go. First thing in the morning, you're done.
So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune supporting free 1-year supply of vitamin D, which by the way is very important, you guys. I take it twice a week, and 5 free travel packets with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/foster today. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/foster to take control of your health and give AG1 a try.
Okay. We all want longer lashes, longer brows, fuller hair. This is like a universal thing. There's nobody that doesn't want that. Vegamore, we were introduced to by our makeup artist in New York, Mateen. We have spoken about him. He was like, girl, it actually started because I lost all my eyelashes and I was pregnant with Josie. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is crazy, but they will grow back. You have to start using Vegamore. Yeah. It is 100% vegan. It's like a clean, holistic. A lot of these hair growing things have chemicals in them, which don't get
us. And a lot of them have hormones and just like all this crap that you don't know how your body's going to react to. And this stuff is completely clean. It is vegan, cruelty-free, and never contains parabens or hormones. You guys, it's very important with hair growth stuff to find stuff that does not have hormones in it. That is where I went wrong in my hair journey.
Yep. So not only do they have those products, the serums that will literally grow your lashes and your brows, but also their shampoo and conditioner is fantastic. The way it lathers, you probably saw it in my shower when you took a shower in my shower yesterday.
I did have a sleepover last week. I did see it in your shower.
So we love the revitalizing shampoo and conditioner. It just lathers well.
The grow serum.
Yes. No, this stuff works. This stuff works, which is why we are doing an ad for it.
Yeah, we've really tried it and it really works. Okay, so give Vegamore a try risk-free for 90 days. You're going to love them as much as we do. Go to vegamore.com/foster and use the code foster to save 20% off on your first order. That is Vegamore, VEGAMOUR.com/foster. And the code is foster to save 20% at vegamore.com/foster.
Do you guys ever have discussions about like, okay, if I don't meet my person, like I do want to have a family. Like, did you guys ever have that conversation of should we be parents together, like co-parent? Did you ever have that in a real way?
I feel like a little bit. I mean, truly, I always knew Erin would meet a person. I really did always think that. She just had to go on a journey to get there. But one thing I will also say about Erin, and as she, you know, started to mature, is that she just had much more certainty about family life, much more than I've ever had, which I really respect. And I think that that really never, like, it made the conversation not as serious. But maybe it was further along in Erin's mind, though.
No, I knew I wanted to get married and have kids, and Charles didn't know exactly what he wanted.
And I still don't, by the way. We're all learning.
You're a guy, so there's definitely less pressure. You're not really on the same timeline, and you have much more of a linear view of your career. You look at things in a timeline of this is where I want to be at this point and this point. And I'm always just sort of flailing around and don't know. So I think I was looking for a person to ground me, a romantic person, relationship to ground me, so I could create whatever my timeline was going to be. But you had a timeline of your own. And so I would say to Charles, should we just do this together at some point? But he was kind of not in a place where he was really even ready to figure that out for himself.
Yeah, and I was in my 30s, super career focused, probably to a fault, right? And didn't have enough of personal life. And Erin had the opposite approach. And that's actually probably why we're a good fit.
It's also great, too, because, you guys have been friends for so long. And for so long, Charles was, yours. Mm-hmm. He was your, no one, it was you had him all to yourself. Mm-hmm. He was your go-to. You really didn't need to share him with anyone. I mean, you would all, you're, weird friends and, Switzerland, you're very international. So, all your, French. And then you had, a couple other people. You had Cal and Jen and, but, you didn't, Erin really had you to herself.
We were a couple. Effectively.
Yeah, you were a couple.
The
you
best really 10 were. Years and before then, Simon.
Mm-hmm. And then all her friends and all these other people were like, wait a minute. He's very cool and he's very successful and he's all those things. And then all these people started, clamoring over Charles. And you know what? Erin was very graceful about it. You have been very cool about sharing Charles. I would not have been that cool. Mm-hmm. We should just acknowledge that.
Well, and, I'm very grateful for that. I mean, I also credit you all and the Fosters. You guys got me my start in LA, really, and helped me build relationships and credibility. And I mean, really brought me into a world that I would never have been able to enter otherwise. And I think, learning all this digital stuff and building my career and knowing you all and, being able to move within this group of friends and creative people and people building businesses really gave me a huge leg up. And I'm forever grateful for that.
Aww. I think that's probably why the way you handle it is why I never got territorial or weird about Charles creating these other friendships within the group of people. Cause there'd be people Charles would meet with me and then they'd become friends on their own. And somebody else, I might be a little territorial and weird about it. But Charles, I always knew where his loyalty lied. He's always going to prioritize us, me, his friendship with me over, the new friendships he makes. And so I never worried about it. Cause Charles is just the person that's always going to be there like family. So, I mean, I'll let him have a couple friendships here and there, but I also, might kill a couple friendships, and I have.
And you saying we did all this, whatever. I think you're being very sweet. I think you're embellishing a little bit, but Charles got us verified on Instagram. Remember
yeah, that's
that?
True.
That was a big deal.
That's true.
That was a really, that's a big deal for us.
I mean, we deserve to be verified.
Well, did we? I don't know. I think you had to pull some strings.
If I hadn't done that, I'm sure I would not be sitting here today. So glad I did it.
Yeah. You think I'm going to let Charles not verify me on Instagram?
By the way, and I know we're going to segue, but how many fucking people write you? I need a verification code or a check.
I don't think there's codes.
Sorry, not a code, a check. How many of those do you think you've gotten? How many emails?
It's a lot. Here's the good news. Anyone can request verification on Instagram now in the settings. So that's the great news. In the early days, it wasn't like that. So, I got a ton of incoming. My DMs are a mess. There's just tons coming in every day. I try to go in there and answer as many as I can. And I think also Erin's basically a de facto support person for Instagram because I know she gets a ton of texts of people asking for help.
Everybody's always like, can your friend Charles help me? I'm like logged out of my account. I'm like, no, my friend Charles cannot help you with that.
You're like, your friend Charles is like the number two at Instagram. He's good to work on your logout.
Here's the good news. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, just always Google first, because a lot of the answers are actually out there. I think people panic because here's the beauty of it, right? Instagram's so personal. It's so important to you. It's a great product. So people panic and they freeze up. But most of the information is out there. And then if you have something really complex, Erin will just work it out for you. Not a problem.
No. Yeah, I mean, unless I can help you figure it out, like, tech-wise, but I'm not about to, like, you know, put someone in touch who got logged out of their account. By the
way, we are very chill about asking you for help, okay? I'm sorry. We have a lot of other people who will literally write you about the dumbest shit. Erin and I do not take advantage of this friendship.
No, we don't.
Oh, I appreciate that. But you're VIP, obviously. Do you disagree? No, not at all. You guys are good. Perfect, but I'm saying you're VIP. Whatever you want.
Because I'd like some more followers. Can you help with that?
Mm-mm. Oh, we can have a whole strategy session for you and your growth.
Thank you.
He'll probably just say more of your OnlyFans content.
Oh,
Erin, why haven't we done that for you? You're still trailing Sarah a little bit.
I know.
A little bit. I think it's like a lot at this point.
I think it's about 80,000. I don't want to stoke a fire.
I told her she's got to show more skin. You know?
I was ahead of Sarah for a really long time. And then there was a point a few years ago where it switched and it just never went back. I guess it's
You're not that active, to be honest.
I'm not as active as you are. It's got to be the nudity. It's got to be like the sexual
nudity, but you're also not on it. You really are very not active.
No, I'm not on it as much. But I do want to ask you.
Wait, hold on. He was going to say something.
Okay. Well, I will say, Erin, your comedy on Instagram, you used to do a lot more of it, and your Bachelor recaps and all this content, that was awesome. And I think that's a sweet spot for the people that follow you. And I think we need to bring some of that back.
Can I tell you why I don't do it anymore?
So many people ripped you off.
I can't. The reason why I don't do it anymore is because it is so oversaturated with like Brentwood moms who think they're comedians, and I'm so bored by it. And I see so many people trying to be funny on Instagram all the time when that's not really like their personality. And
it's just
so
not funny.
It feels like what I'm doing is like the same thing everybody else is doing. And it used to be.
Well, that's Erin. When you're doing it, it's actually people are laughing. When other people are doing it, they're laughing at them, not.
I know, but it's just like there was a long time where I had like bits of funny things that I was doing on Instagram, and it was unique to what I was doing, and so people understood that it was funny and comedy, whatever. But then stories came out and everybody started to do the same thing, and my like sarcastic commentary on something gets bled in with other sarcastic commentary from people who aren't even really like, they don't. It's not like everyone has a license to be funny if you're funny, but I just like don't want to be bulked in with them. You know, there are a lot of like annoying people on Instagram and a lot of people who see it as an opportunity to like let their inner comedian out. And I just like, it's so cringeworthy to me that I never want to be bulked in with them. So then I just get self-conscious and I'm just like, I don't know. Are people going to like send this around to other people thinking Erin thinks she's being funny right now? Because so many other people think that they're being funny and I make fun of it.
That's how I felt in the beginning of quarantine. I started doing this bit where I was like, and it was a bit. I don't drink and I don't take pills, but I started doing this bit where I was like drunk mom in the back while V was like TikToking and I was like passed out on the couch because it was COVID. It was a bit. It was funny. Like I wasn't seeing anyone else doing it. And then all of a sudden everyone's drunk. Everyone's a drunk mom on Instagram. And I was like, okay, I'm just done. So I don't really do those kinds of things anymore either.
Mm-hmm. Can't you like only let really funny people do these bits, Charles? So can you censor some people?
There's so many talented people on Instagram, and the content that breaks the mold and is really, really good, and the people that are doing that, they rise to the top. They get really thriving communities and fan bases like yours. I mean, what does everyone say to us? The Foster sisters convert. When you're doing something on Instagram, like you've got that community, that base that is really invested in what you're doing, and they're going to follow you for the comedy. They're going to buy the products that you recommend to them. They're going to be head to toe favorite daughter. That's because you all are good at creating this kind of content. So I would encourage you to do it. And then I think people do try to recreate the great content that they see on Instagram. That's normal. Imitation is the best form of flattery, of course. But
it's also annoying.
Well, how can you keep those franchises going? How can you keep adding them on? I mean, think about how during quarantine you and Simon started watching Game of Thrones. And you all were late to that game. that could have been a whole other series that you were doing. I mean, everyone else had already seen it, but to watch it through your eyes and see that mm-hmm. bit, that's different. What are the differentiators about your experience? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the sarcasm? What is your voice on that? And I think you can just keep doing it. And I think the move to video is also a great opportunity for you because it's so natural for you to do these bits in the camera. Sarah, I think the stuff you do behind Valentina in the robe, it's so funny. So many people see that. And I think you all are creatives. You have ideas going every day. And Instagram's a great place to test stuff out. And you should be doing that more and not comparing yourself.
I know. You're the
others.
One that's always like, guys, get on Reels. Get your shit together. I'm like always, I always have you in my head because I think we do stories, but we're not like, we don't really do like statics that often. Like I'll go like a month without doing one. And you're always like, if you guys are not doing Reels, like you're just going to get lost in the shuffle.
Reels is so important now. So this is how I think about the generations on Instagram. The original Instagram generation grew up with a camera in their pocket. So it was normal to have a cell phone that could take a great photo. That's what helped Instagram explode, right? Is that there were iPhones, mm-hmm. they took good pictures. Instagram helped you post those and make them even better. Today, we have the generation that grew up with a video camera in their pocket. Think of Valentina. She's always had access to a video camera really easily. She can talk into it. It's a very comfortable format. We never had that growing up. Remember what the camera systems would have been and to have access to that? So now I say motion is the new filter. How do you do this video content? How do you express yourself? How are you creative there? And Reels is a really good place to do it.
I really do, though, love when I'm scrolling Reels and when I do actually see just like normal everyday moms who are funny as shit. There really are, to your point, so many undiscovered, talented people out there. And they're like, it really is amazing that this platform is giving people like second careers, first careers. I mean, it's really amazing.
I mean, my dream is to be the best platform. I mean, we want to be the best platform for creators, right? So you want to build that community and then help you build your business. If someone who's doing something as a creator, maybe it's comedy, they have a day job and they're doing this, my dream is to get them from it being a part-time job or hobby to a full-time job and helping them grow from there. If you think about it, creators are the new entrepreneurs. They're the new small business and anyone can build that presence and then build a brand off of it, build a business off of it. I mean, think about how many businesses you love and how now there's a face to it, like what you all are doing with Favorite Daughter, which never mm-hmm. happened before in the same way. And it makes it so much personal, so powerful.
With the money for Reels?
I got a check for $500 the other day.
Oh my God, and I just said there's $1,500 waiting for me somewhere because of Reels.
PayPal.
But why? What is
because you're getting paid to do Reels.
Yes, we have a bonus program for Reels that you signed up for. And when a Reel does well, you can get bonus on the production.
Yeah, I got $500. Although I also got shadow banned by y'all because I posted on my anniversary that if Simon ever tries to leave me, I will kill him. And that shit got taken down and then reported. And then I like contested it and was like, hello, guys, wake up, context. Like, look at what we're talking about. It's a joke. And it fucked up my whole account, Charles. I hold you personally responsible.
So here's the thing. One of the most important things that we need to do every day is to keep people safe, right? So we don't want anyone to be doing threats or feeling uncomfortable on the platform. And
Simon was not afraid by my threat. He felt good about it.
I don't know. I see fear in his eyes almost on a daily basis.
That's just
a brave man and he's living his best life. But so the thing about context is that sometimes things can get a little over-enforced and, you know, a lot of the systems can't pick up that context and you can appeal, get it re-reviewed and have it actually put back up.
I appealed and they rejected it. They rejected my appeal. So that means that like a person with their eyes looked at me saying, if my husband leaves you, I'm going to kill him or whatever. I'll understand, but I'll kill him. They looked at it and they were like, nope, we did a good job.
It might have been a little too sarcastic or a little bit too realistic. Mm-hmm. A lot of these cases can be borderline. Obviously, we re-reviewed it and it's back. And
luckily I had an in and I had it reviewed a second time and it was accepted.
Yes, exactly. But like I said, you know, with safety, with a lot of these things, it's better in our mind to over-enforce a little bit, have things re-reviewed. It's not perfect. We totally get that. And then have the appeal process so people can get those things back up.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So take me through, unless Sarah's getting too triggered by this. But people do have, and I'm not reading questions, people just asked a lot about career stuff and career advice. And a lot of people who listen to this podcast are looking for advice in life. They're looking for, like, I'm at a crossroads. I don't love what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I just graduated college. I mean, it's really shocking how panicked young people feel about not having their lives figured out. And they're like 25 years old and they think that they're like lost and that they're never going to figure their life out. And so, you know, I've watched you on your journey from when we both thought we were going to work in the music business and then both realized we have probably no talent in that area.
Aaron, so you, but you have a great voice.
Oh, I know. I mean, I have immense talent as a singer. Of course.
A little known fact, I did go to a choir school for 3 years, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Oh, you did? Wait, why have we never sung together?
Oh, we should do a duet. We're going to work on that.
We should duet sometime.
Guys, we're in the presence of two incredible voices of our generation.
I would also like to shout out Jordy Foss, also known as Jodie Foster, and her voice as well, which is like an angel, you know?
Listen, three of you.
She has a great voice. Sarah, the numbers of people that are disagreeing with you are racking up. It's like almost like you have some sort of like block against hearing it.
Wait, is Otto a singer as well? I've only seen his dance moves. I haven't heard any vocals.
I don't think Otto's a singer. I don't. Okay. Not that I know of.
Well, if he has his mom and aunt's talent, then he will be.
I agree. I agree.
We should have a separate category, a category alone for things that mom steals.
I think that maybe the solution, like I, you know, give mom things and I also buy them for her. And so she steals things from you because you're not generous with her. So maybe if you were a little bit more generous with mom, she wouldn't have to steal things like Blue Land.
Somehow I knew you were going to turn that around. But anyways, Blue Land is, this is every time my Blue Land shipment arrives, it's like she can smell it.
She can smell it. Well, listen, it's everything she loves. She loves sustainability. Yeah. She loves non-toxic cleaning supplies.
Yeah. Anyways, Blue Land is, well, first of all, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away every year? That's a crazy statistic.
It is. It's something that we just don't think about. You think about littering as like, oh, you're throwing trash on the ground, that's terrible for the environment. But we forget that we're also throwing out all these plastic soap bottles, shampoo bottles, body wash, cleaning supplies, all of that stuff. And so I've switched over completely to Blue Land. It's plastic free. They're beautiful. It cleans really well. I love their all-purpose.
You buy the bottle once, you refill it forever. That's
exactly. So you buy everything once, everything, all the refills are sent to you. They're sent to you on like a monthly subscription. So you never have any plastic waste left.
Like a subscription for home cleaning supplies is so smart because it's not like you're going to just stop cleaning your house. Like, you just need to know that you never run out of it.
Yeah. And it's very affordable. They start at $10 when you buy a kit and they're reusable forever. And they have the money saving refill tablets. It started like $2 for a tablet. Honestly, it's great stuff. Can't recommend it more. Right now you can get 20% off your first order when you go to blueland.com/foster. That is 20% off your first order of any Blue Land products at blueland.com/foster, blueland.com/foster.
I'm very proud that we really have turned so many of our friends and audience members on to Osea. I get messages all the time saying I have fully switched over. I've thrown out all my old products and I am using every single piece of Osea, from the cleanser to the masks, to the hand cream, to the oil, to the moisturizer, to like literally all of it. This is like a one-stop shop for all you need for skin.
I live in the anti-aging hand cream. I cannot stand the feeling of my hands being dry. I really don't like having dry hands. I do not like having dry hands. Osea has been creating clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet since 1996. in Malibu is where they started. Their new hyaluronic C serum is amazing. And they also, their best-selling body oil is perfect to add for lightweight moisture and glow to your skin as the temperatures warm up for spring.
It's not rocket science. If you want less wrinkles, less flaky skin, less dehydrated skin, Osea truly transforms your skin. Not only that, but my daughter is using it. And Osea is the only skincare I let her use.
So find your new skincare favorites at oseamalibu.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. You get 10% off your first order with the promo code FIRST at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order, and orders over $50 get free shipping. You're going to want everything. So go to oseamalibu.com and use the code FIRST.
Okay, so Charles, your career path has been interesting, and it was interesting to watch because we are on such different paths in our life, and you are a much more type A person than I am, like incredibly type A. So you always like need a plan. You think everything through.
You are regimented. You are scheduled.
Very routine, very scheduled. You look at things like your life is like a, what are those charts called? Like a
flow chart of sorts, or I don't know what you have in your mind there.
A flow chart, like an Excel sheet.
Like a spreadsheet.
Like a spreadsheet, okay? You always had like, okay, here, if I make this decision, then I'm making the decision with like a 5-year plan, and this is where I want to end up here, and this is like my financial goal for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And then you like hit those goals and you like somehow will it to happen.
Yeah, Aaron, it's called manifesting. Hello. He wrote it down and he made it happen. When are you going to get your shit together?
Stop promoting the episode I wasn't on. Okay, stop.
That was a great episode, Sarah. Also, shout out
people loved
shut up,
it.
Charles.
People
shut
loved
up, everybody.
It.
Okay, no, it wasn't manifesting. Charles is a planner. He plans ahead, but you have very like, I just want to be very clear and like make it very, Charles, like he said, did not have any into this world, right? Charles was a person who got an apartment, a roommate from Craigslist, and somehow got like an internship there and somehow has willed his way through to be at the very top at the most relevant company.
Wait, did you go to college?
I did.
Yeah, you went to college.
Where?
McGill University in Canada.
Oh, I was like thinking of the name in Canada.
Oh, in Canada.
What did you major in?
International Development Studies, because one, I wasn't totally sure what I wanted to do. And both of my parents are professors and said, you know, take all the classes you'll never be able to take again in your life, like the art history, the political science, the anthropology, which I think was great advice.
Because
you can always specialize in a postgraduate degree if you need to.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go back to complimenting you. So Charles came in with no nepotism, no inroads, no relationships that were going to help him. Also supporting himself financially 100%. So he didn't have family money to lean on. This is a person who just came in like anybody else listening to the show and has literally worked his way to the top of the food chain and working at the most relevant company, you know, that we are aware of. So what is, and everybody who works with Charles enjoys working with him. Yeah. He's very professional to an annoying degree. And I've told you that many times.
It's a little too professional.
It's annoying. Like I've said to him before a million, I'll say to him like, oh God, like Instagram's really annoying me right now because of X, Y, and Z. And he'll be like, well, actually what's going on here? And he was like, it's like a thought through answer. I'm like, oh, Charles, you are such a man.
And he won't give us any tea on Mark.
He's such a company
ever.
Man. He never gives me Mark's email address. I've asked for it many times. By the way, I've guessed that it's probably mzuckerberg@fb.com. He won't confirm or deny that.
Not only that, but we're like, is he cool? Is he nice? No comment. He won't even like nothing.
Oh, I'll tell you about Mark. Mark is really funny. And
I actually have heard that.
Actually,
yeah, you have told
me
that, actually.
Is one to crack a joke, laugh at a joke in a meeting, and isn't necessarily what you expect from the outside.
Well, why haven't you ever invited me to hang out with you guys together? Because I've been available plenty of times. You've never invited me.
I mean, I do have to protect him somewhat, you know? So
mm-hmm. Okay. So you've kept me from Mark and his wife, Priscilla, because that would be a good inroad.
Oh, I think
for me.
I got invited on a play date with Priscilla once.
Oh, why didn't you go?
I don't remember.
What, you like blew her off?
Sarah probably
no,
didn't
I don't remember
respond.
The circumstances.
Yeah, Sarah like definitely didn't. Exactly. She never responded. And so what is your advice to people? Like, what do you attribute your ability to, because you moved pretty fast. I mean, you were at a good pace, right? It was like a 10-year pace. Well, no, it was longer than 10 years because you started before.
I've had a 20-year career so far from internship to where I am now.
Yeah, you've had a 20-year career. And you've moved at a good pace, but like you've always had a very good you worked at, you know, take us through your career and sort of like what you attribute the growth to and why and what you're like the rules are that you live by, because you do not fight with people. You handle like insanity. I mean, we live in a crazy time right now. Like young people have like wild requests. They're offended by everything. Like being a boss to a young people at a progressive company puts you in a position to have to deal with like all kinds of, you know, insanity. And every time I give Charles like a hypothetical scenario, he handles it with like, he's like calm, cool, and collected, never freaks out. I don't think you yell at anybody. Oh,
that, I love it when you guys do that. Oh, when yeah. Aaron gives him HR scenarios.
I give him so many HR scenarios.
They're so good. They're so
of
good.
These, like young, crazy, woke people.
And his response is epic.
Yes. I'll do examples now, but I'd probably get fucking canceled for it. But the examples are, they're so good. The hypotheticals are really fun.
So let me start a little bit with my approach, and then I can walk through the career a little bit. So I think it's important to have a North Star and know where you're trying to go. Because what happens is you come out of college, you might not have a job, and you're kind of panicking and trying to look for whatever's in front of you. And this could also happen later in your career, by the way. But if you don't know where you're going, or at least what your area of interest is, you can't make the yes-no decisions to help you get there. So I think it's important to know where you're going. Now, this can be intimidating because, and I was never this person, but we know a lot of people. We all have that friend who, you know, when they were 9, they thought, I'm going to be the CEO of Nike and this is my dream, and they know exactly what they want to do. That was never the case with me. It was the themes. What are the things that I care about? So when I got out of college, I thought, I think I want to do marketing, but I want it to be something fun. So I didn't want to market maybe Sprockets, but I did want to do music, and that sounded cool. So I took the step, I moved to LA, and then worked my way to get there. So it's good to have that North Star. That's the first thing. The second thing is, to get my start, I'd always take any job or volunteer for what was necessary. And you all...
Okay, so can I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to pipe in here for a second. So there are people who think that they know what they want to do, or they don't know what they want to do, and a job opportunity comes to them and they think, but this isn't even the field that I want to be in, but it's such a smart stepping stone because taking any job will eventually potentially introduce you to someone who can bring you to the path you're trying to get beyond, or it gives you a skill set that you didn't know you needed for the place you're going to end up eventually. So do you think everybody really needs to know like what the North Star is of where they're going to end up? Because some people, their North Star sort of reveals itself as you're going through these different stepping stones. You're like, oh shit, I want to be working at a tech company. Like, doesn't it kind of reveal itself as you go along?
It does. And that's why there can be themes. So if there's themes, if you think, wow, I think I really like marketing, but you need to get the learnings and experience to actually get you there, right? So there might be
a North Star is more broad, right? A North Star is more broad. Like,
it can be totally broad. It just depends on the person. It depends where you are in your career, right? Also, the North Star can change. So you can be 5 years into your career and you're thinking, you're a lawyer and you're thinking, maybe this isn't for me. I don't want to work at a huge law firm and in 10 years be dealing with litigation or maybe the politics of law or whatever it is, and you might want to make that shift. But if you have a good sense of at least where you're trying to go, like I said, you can make that yes-no decision to help you get there. So let me give you the example for me. So I knew I liked marketing. I was able to get into Warner Brothers Records as an unpaid intern to start. So I did that, and I started learning about music, but I was lucky enough to land in what they called new media then, right? It was the tech piece. So I said, oh, I'm learning all this tech stuff, and this is actually probably a pretty smart route, and this is what I'm interested in. And from Warner, then I went to a startup, and that's how I really continued my tech journey. And then once I started working for a startup that was based in Palo Alto, that's when I got connected to Facebook and got hired at Facebook. So things built very naturally, but I had to get my foot into Warner to learn, you know, I want to market something fun, and then realize that tech was probably the right path for me. And, you know, forms of marketing within tech were the right way to go. and it built really well. But like I said, I took the unpaid job, I took the assistant job, and I built and built and built. And I'll even say, I worked at Facebook when we acquired Instagram. And the way I got my start at Instagram is that I volunteered to start their partnerships team. It was not part of my day-to-day work. So I just showed up. I said, I'm going to help this new team. I introduced myself to them. Kevin, who you all know, I might have cornered him by his desk and said, I'm going to do this for you. Let me run on this. And that turned into my full-time job rather quickly as I put in the effort, but it was on top of my other responsibilities. So I showed up and volunteered for the thing that I was really interested in, proved myself, and built from there.
No, we met Kevin through you.
We met Kevin through you.
We met Kevin. You know what I think is interesting? I think it's interesting that, like, I think we live in a time now where we're all hustling.
It really looks like you've had your lips done recently. It's really puckering out at the top. Like, more than usual.
I used your lip plumper.
Yeah, did you? Because it's, like, very puffy right here. Very puffy.
Okay. Well, so what I was going to say was, I think that you are someone who has your North Star. You've got your goals. You are looking to move up, right? Like, you're constantly wanting to get to the next block. But what's interesting is, and I know for a fact, a lot of people are like, I want Charles to come work at my company. Hey, can you introduce me to Charles? Like, Charles would be so amazing to da-da-da. You are so loyal to where you are. You have been where you are now, I would say, over 10 years. So, like, there's something with staying the course. Like, I think I've mentioned before, but I read Bob Iger's book. Bob Iger was at Disney for, like, 30 years. Like, and he started at the bottom. And where everyone's kind of looking for the next move and the next this and the next that. And, like, there's something interesting how, with all these things being thrown at you, which I'm sure is on the daily because you're very in demand and there aren't that many people like you and a lot of people want a piece of you, it's really interesting that you never veer. And you've been at this company now for a really long time.
Well, I think the key thing about it, and having been at this company, and what I have to say that Meta is really good at, is the job keeps evolving and I keep learning new things. So when I first started, I was trying to convince people to have Facebook pages, but then I came to Instagram and it was just photos. And then I had to learn how to pitch video on Instagram. And then I got to work on stories and do that. And today we've built Reels, we're building shopping on Instagram. And I'm learning all about commerce. When I first came to Meta, then Facebook, I wasn't that interested in management or managing people. But as I got more senior, you go from having a tiny team to having hundreds of people on your team, and you're learning all these new skills and you're just growing as a person. And I think that fulfillment, that growth and being hyper aware of learning new things and that giving me more skills has really kept me super interested in the work. That, and I will say, I work with incredible people. They're incredibly smart. And the culture of the company, I call it aggressively nice. Everyone's very nice, but we are also getting a ton done and have really big goals and are super excited about what we're doing. And that really works for me. So the culture piece as well has been hyper important.
Yeah, and I also think, like, what we've heard, and not only from you, but, like, it's a great place to work. They really take care of their employees. They really, like,
although it's really funny. I always talk to Charles about how the tech world really is very funny with the way that it makes people change how they look at their emotions, because tech people have, like, a very funny language around anything emotional. And so, like, you can say to someone, like, you're really pissing me off right now with the way you do this thing. And they're like, that is really helpful feedback. Thank you so much. I'm going to think about that. I'm like, no, bitch, it's not fucking feedback. I'm actually trying to have a fight with you. But they, like, everything is, like, data. And, like, a mutual friend of Charles and I, who's also in tech.
Probably a friend of mine too.
Possibly someone you're friends with. She was like, I introduced her to a guy and they were kind of flirting and she kind of got insecure and was like, oh God, I don't know. I don't think that he really liked me. It kind of felt like he blew me off, but, like, that's on me. I really personalize rejection. And I was like,
we all do.
Everybody personalizes rejection. That's literally what you do about rejection. You personalize it. But in the tech world, it's like you're trained to see your emotions as, like, data points of, like, you need to, like, do, like, like an update on your system so that you don't take, you know, personalized rejection. And it's just, it's very funny watching that happen. So
what does that have to do with Charles?
I was just talking about like the tech world and how like it changes you.
Well, two interesting things and two interesting comments on that. I mean, every industry has its own culture and vernacular, right? So you all could talk about pilots, dailies, edits, all that kind of stuff, hyper entertainment. So of course tech is going to have its own vernacular when it comes to that. But also, I mean, when you work at a really big company and you're working with all sorts of people who come from different backgrounds, have different perspectives, you know, you want to arrive to a way that everyone can communicate in a super respectful and great way. So
I know. I mean, listen, the truth is it's actually very productive. I mean, we should probably start saying that when you're like being like, Aaron, you're being a bitch. I'm like, that's really excellent feedback. I'm gonna take that back to my motherboard and check in with my
feedback. And then you guys can get aligned. It'll be great.
I think that's a good point. And I guess I need
to start. That's really helpful feedback.
It's really helpful feedback.
Okay, Boll & Branch. Do you think that we even need to go into detail about Boll & Branch? Because I have to say, I think a lot of our listeners have fully converted to Boll & Branch.
We're not about to move into a new house, but we're going to start the process since we got a new house. And the first thing I was thinking about was how to create bedrooms that are filled with only organic bedding. That is very, very important to me. And Boll & Branch is literally the best organic bedding. And it's the smoothest, silkiest. I want to throw away all my old crap.
No, I wouldn't say it's silky. It's buttery soft. Like my whole hesitation with organic bedding was always like, yeah, but will it be as soft? It's softer. Boll & Branch has just figured out how to deliver organic sheets that are like as soft as, you know.
And honestly, they do it at a fair price to give you the how soft it is and how sustainable it is and the quality, and at a fair price is just kind of unheard of.
We really try to talk to you guys about little ways that you can start implementing a cleaner lifestyle. Like little ways, like just start here, start there. Organic bedding is a really great entry point into that cleaner, healthier lifestyle.
So we really love these sheets. We stand by it. So experience the best sheets that you have ever felt at bollandbranch.com and get 15% off your first order of sheets when you use the promo code FOSTER15 at checkout. So that is Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L and branch.com, promo code FOSTER15. You're welcome.
Okay. But I want to hear specifically, like in real time, how do you handle and how have you historically in your career handled rejection? How have you handled, and rejection could be like, you've never like applied for a job that you didn't get, but like in the moment, someone picks somebody else's idea over yours, or there's a team member that, you know, is always needs credit for everything and kind of like takes an idea that was yours and makes it seem like it was theirs, or like, how have you handled conflict or competitiveness, or because you don't have drama in your work life and you always seem to be on good terms with everybody and not have enemies and you handle things in stride. I need to know what you attribute that to so that you can share it, because I think that people would want to implement it in their own careers.
No, absolutely. And by the way, there are plenty of jobs that I've applied for and haven't gotten, and I have made mistakes and have been rejected on things. So that's a fact of life for anyone. You guys are really building me up around too much perfection. But I think there's a few things. One, you need to have the best possible relationships that you can in your work life. And you need to invest in those relationships. So there's a couple different ones, right? One, get a mentor who is someone who can guide you. That could be either someone within the office that's maybe more senior that you want mentorship from. It could be someone that you really, you know, relate to, or you want to know, you really want to get to where they are. It could be someone outside that's in your industry. Sometimes a former boss is a great person to help you do that if you've had a good relationship with that person.
And do you find that people that are more senior than you at those times, that they really appreciate being asked to mentor? Like, it makes people feel good to mentor, right?
Absolutely. And especially if you show a lot of interest in what they're doing and you really want to follow that path, I think those people can really help. So that's part one.
And And would you say, sorry, I just have a second question to what you said. When you say that relationships are really important, do you feel like a lot of people in their careers look at other people as competition when they should be looking at other people as an important relationship for them?
Yeah, because I think you want to have the best possible relationship with your colleagues so you can work through hard things, one, and two, just get to the right place. If everyone's trying to compete, you're going to have sometimes bad outcomes, and then there's just going to be bad vibes on the team. And so if you can get that understanding with your colleagues, even with a colleague that, you know, maybe you haven't had the best history with, if you can break through
someone
and get to
you
a good place,
like,
everyone's going to rise.
Someone who's annoying.
I'm curious. I feel like we're living in a world now where tech executives and people in like your position are like very front facing. We like know their names. They're always on panels. Are you like more private? Because I feel like a lot of people want you to be more front facing, but you kind of like are a little bit mysterious. And I'd like to see you a little more public because people way lower on the totem pole than you are like, you know.
Do you want people to know you're friends with Charles?
Yeah.
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 It's so
be better for me.
That's very flattering, and I appreciate that. I kind of love the anonymity and the mystery. It's really interesting. Yeah. I enjoy being the behind-the-scenes person. I've done it for Aaron for 20 years, as we know, and yeah. propped up that
He's lived in
operation.
My shadow for 20 years, so I've prepared him for this.
No, but the techies are the new celebrities, so it's just like a lot of like tech executives are like, you know, out there, and you kind of like people that are like lower than you are almost like famous in some ways. And I'm just ready for you to be a little bit less private.
I think it just depends what your motivation is and what motivates you. For me, I think notoriety or fame isn't part of my North Star.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know what is nice is like to have influence or to have experience and be able to get important things done feels much more valuable to me than the actual public-facing credit. And so when I think about that, you know, there's one that gives me much more energy. Like, I don't know how you all do what you do with the fame public-facing piece. It's a different kind of
pressure. I mean, so famous that you just curated the fucking list at the Met Ball and didn't even invite us. I mean,
seriously. I actually personally can't leave my house without getting paparazzi'd, but yeah. It doesn't happen to Sarah as much. But Charles, look, I don't want to steer you off track because you're giving us advice on how...
Did I steer us off track?
No, you just gave a second part too, but we just want to steer it back.
Well, I'm not really talking a lot in this episode. It's like very heavily like a two-way conversation.
Well, maybe that's for the best.
So I'm like forcing to jump my, you know, to
you're
jump
like finding
in.
Finding your ways in. Well, yeah. I had asked Charles to give specific career advice on what he attributes getting to where he is. Do we think that it's the way he handles his relationships or how does he handle rejection or conflict at work? Because he never seems to feed into that. And I think most people feel slighted very easily at work or competitive with their coworkers. And I'm trying to get advice for our listeners from Charles about how to handle like conflict that comes up and disappointments that come up.
Yeah. Do you feel like you got advice? Because I was gone. I was dealing
He's
with the kids.
He's still halfway through. That's why I was trying to give him keys to continue.
Continue.
Yeah, so we started with relationship building, right? I think the better the relationships are with all your colleagues, the more you can get done. And, you know, the more you can work through hard issues. Because if you're working through really hard stuff and the relationships are bad, you're adding 10 times the stress to your life. So you want to have those and just reduce the drama as much as possible there. The second thing I like about having really great relationships is if you're working at a big company or even within the industry, that's probably how you're going to get your next role and move up because you're going to know someone that has a job on their team or know of someone that's looking for someone and you're going to pop up as an option for them. And hopefully that's going to help you actually move forward. And then I think the third thing is just really working on how you communicate and how you get your points across. For me, it's always been about how can I simplify the things that we're doing? How can we actually be really clear about both what we're going to try to do in a situation and what we're also not going to do? So everyone's clear and can march towards the same thing. And I think that's really something I've leaned into. It's something I've learned over time. Tech really helped because the culture is much more about that. And it kind of ties back to the North Star stuff I was saying before about how you think about your career.
Okay,
as
hypothetical.
Well.
So what do you do in a work situation if you say to someone, I don't know if they're like senior to you, but you say to someone, you know.
Well, that's helpful. He needs to know, are they senior?
Okay, sure. They're senior. You say like, oh, you've been saying for a little while, like, I really think that Instagram should really be doing shopping. Okay. I really think that's the next wave. And they're like, shitty idea, Charles. And then like 2 months later, that same person is like, you know, I've been really thinking a lot about it. And I really think shopping is the next way to go. What do you think in front of you, Charles? Do you say like, that's so funny. I literally said that to you 3 months ago and you fucking ignored it. Or what do you say?
I would say, I think that's an amazing idea. And here are the 5 things I think we should do to get there, because I have a ton of energy and excitement for this. And I want to help be part of what we're doing.
You don't remind them that you actually came up with this idea like 5 months ago?
I think having a low ego really helps. It really helps build trust. And once again, it's all about how can you help everyone? How can you help all of us get to that goal and that outcome? And then, you know, you can get that credit along the way if you're putting in the work, if you're adding all that value to the project. And if you're not, you're probably working at the wrong place.
Oh, yeah. If Aaron said, I've got an idea for shopping, I'm like, bitch, I said that 2 months ago. You are a thief. That was my idea.
But also, Sarah's the queen of needing credit, right? You're trying to gain experience and get that knowledge, one for your career overall. And it's just something you can put on your resume and talk about when you're interviewing for that next job at your dream e-commerce company. You can say, hey, I worked on shopping here. Here are the places that I added value. Here are the ideas that I had. Here are the things that I got over the line. And that's what you want to take with you to your next thing. Eyes on the prize. North Star.
Right.
Where
so when you're
headed,
working
let's
with
not
closely...
get bogged down on the ego in that moment.
Remove the ego when working with teams.
Are you absorbing it, Sarah?
Are you
listening?
Are you listening?
Are you absorbing it?
I hope
it?
You're listening. I can't wait for you to listen to this episode.
Sarah Ego Foster over here, okay? Just counting out things that she came up with.
But would this be your same reaction if it was someone below you and not senior to you? Would you be like, calm down, Jerry. That was my idea. Or still same, even if it was someone below you?
For me, and especially if you're leading a team, I think you really want to stoke enthusiasm and you want to stoke excitement. So you want to open that up for ideas. You want ideas to come from those people and really have them help build this and come along the ride with you. That's a big part about being a leader. So I think it's good to nurture that and good to bring people along. Once again, it's not about getting the credit.
Aaron and I gave you
the
idea for stories. Aaron and I gave you the idea for stories. And we have never gotten credit.
We never got credit. But you know what? We don't ask for it. We don't ask for it. Mm-hmm. We just let you pretend like you guys came up with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have that memory, but you know.
Charles, what would you say is your secret power?
I think that it is the ability to read people very quickly. So for me, I'm a very gut person. I think it comes from, I grew up with a severely handicapped sibling who could never speak. So when I was a kid, I really had to learn how to be aware and take cues from someone who could never speak. And I feel like I can read people quite quickly, read a situation very quickly, and then be able to set the temperature in the room. So when you're walking into that pitch meeting, when you're walking into that hard conversation, how can you set that temperature, get everyone on the same page, and really get the good vibe going or the right vibe for what that meeting is.
But even in your personal life, you're just somebody that people want to be around. I mean, there's not one room that you couldn't be in, like truly. Like there's just, and I think everybody feels that way.
Charles, these are some questions that people are asking, and this is sort of more of a personal one, but I think that you brushed a little bit upon it earlier. What's the best way to show support for my younger brother who just came out and is shy about it?
I think it's just to give the right space to that person. I think, you know, coming out can be a really intense experience for a lot of people. Sometimes you can feel like you're a different person on both sides of that. And you have to unlearn a ton of behavior. Because before coming out, I think in a lot of younger people, I'll speak for myself, your biggest fear is that people are going to find out that you're gay or they're going to know your secret. And consciously or unconsciously, there are all these behaviors that you have that you've learned that exhibit that. And so you have to unlearn that on the other side. So sometimes, you know, your instincts can be a little off and you have to relearn a ton of stuff. Like, for example, for me, before I came out to my parents, if they asked me something about my personal life, I would really clam up. In fact, like, they didn't meet a lot of my friends because I didn't want anyone to let it slip. And on the other side, the conversations are quite different, but the instinct is always to clam up when you get a question. So I think give the person that space, be supportive where you can, and you'll watch them grow. And it'll actually be hopefully really beautiful, really amazing, and bring you two closer together.
Should you two have a podcast together?
You don't like how that we're like vibing?
No, like you guys have a good vibe with each other. It's very
inspiring. Are you feeling inspired, Sarah?
I am. I think you're a really good speaker.
No, I think she's feeling threatened, not inspired.
No, what do you mean? I'm thinking like if there is a day where I'm like, can't be here, you'd be a great guest host.
I'd love to be a special guest. I'm here always. I can never replace Sarah though.
Thank you so much. This is just like, not a silly question, but you were a hardcore West Coaster. You got your place in Venice. You loved it. You were happy here. You had your routine. And all of a sudden you were like, guys, I'm moving to New York. And now you're this diehard New Yorker. And you're like, tell us like, what is your West Coast, East Coast, like, vibe?
So first of all, I mean, I was approaching 40. I think when I was 38, you know, I'd been living in San Francisco for 9 years. You know, it really had been about my career. I'd been working really hard. Actually, I lived in San Francisco, but I traveled almost every week. I was never there. I didn't have community. I'd accomplished a lot. And I thought, I need to change my life in a way that's going to move it forward. I wasn't dating a ton
of people. It never became home to you.
It never became home to me. I didn't have a routine there. I wasn't dating people. I just felt like it didn't feel great. And when I took a step back and looked at it and looked at the way I wanted my life to move, I could have chosen LA, which is like a warm blanket. You all are there. Our community's there and I love it. But I thought, let me push myself. I want a new chapter. And I'd spent a lot of time in New York, but I'd never lived there. And I thought New York feels like the center of the world. I'm going to go there and I'm going to get a fresh start. And I moved a lot as a kid, so I got a lot of energy from going to a new city and restarting. And it's really been the right choice for me. I feel really great about it. I feel New York feels international. Everyone comes through there. You know, it's just this center of art and fashion and culture. And it's a really great dating city for folks that are maybe considering a move. Everyone comes
through there.
By the
way, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? What is your ideal type?
So
that's for dating? Yeah.
I'm sure Aaron might have some thoughts on this.
I'll be the one. I'll decide who Charles
I want him to be
with
Tim Cook. I mean, let's make that happen.
I know what Charles needs. I'll tell you what Charles needs.
Wait, what? What? What were you saying?
Well, I don't take my own advice. I actually feel like I don't know what I want. I don't have a personal North Star. And I just think, you know, you turn 40, it's just a different chapter. It's a different time of life. And you have to reset what you want. And I'm still in that process and learning, but I know what Charles needs. Tim Cook.
Sure, I don't know Tim Cook, but I'll tell you what Charles needs. Charles needs a person who is accomplished in their career and is not excited to get Charles to, you know, verify them on Instagram. He is not somebody who is going to be asking Charles for career advice because Charles has done that enough in his life. He wants someone who's his equal, someone who has their own shit going on, but is a part of a different scene. He wants
maybe political.
It could be political, could be someone in politics, someone who has, who like owns the lane in a different category so that they can bring Charles to cool events where he doesn't know the people. And then Charles can bring him to cool events where he doesn't know people. And they can both teach each other about different worlds, and someone who will challenge him. And he really needs someone who is not emotionally shut off. He needs someone who's basically like me.
Oh, who's going to push him to be more emotional.
Yeah, push him to, because with Charles, you have to draw it out. You have to pull it out of him. You still need to, it's like you said, Charles, you're wired the way you are, right? So Charles is not someone who's ever going to say too much. He's not someone who's going to ever open up and be vulnerable just because it's like it's fun for him. Like I would do it for, and you know, just no reason. You have to kind of like massage it out of him. And so you need someone who's going to put him on the spot and really push him to be vulnerable, because it's not his natural way. You can't be with someone who's going to be passive and, like, you know, shut down.
Right. Or you'll find someone, you'll both just be cruising at 35,000 feet asleep at the wheel.
Exactly. And then you'll just be like friends and you won't move forward. Someone who's going to, like, you know, push him to disagree on things. Like, it's cause it's good for you. Like, it's, I like when you have that in your life. You've had it a little bit before, but not, we need more.
Yeah. I've had it a little bit, you know. We're learning, we're meeting people. What, you know, our friend Ricky Van Veen always says, find someone, you can be their plus one and they can be yours. And it really feels kind of, you know, flawless that way. And I think that's always really,
yeah, because if one person has all the connections, if one person's always the one bringing them the other one, it's like not balanced. You want to both have your own thing going on.
Yeah. And someone, it's like you said, Erin, it's someone you can learn from, someone that's excited about what they're doing, is passionate about a bunch of stuff.
That's important too, because if you're with someone who, like, sells software and, like, doesn't enjoy it and is, like, not talking about it when they come home at night. By the way, there might be some people who are really excited to do that, but I'm just using an example of someone who maybe is, like, going through the motions. And Charles every day is, like, you know, changing the world, so excited about what he's doing, meeting interesting people, talking about interesting things. There would be a disconnect. You want someone who's also interested in their life.
Also, selling software, you know, you can become Larry Ellison doing that.
Yeah. Also, I was going to say someone rich. I want someone, Charles, to be for sure with someone rich. We're not looking for somone to, like, ride your coattails. I want someone maybe with a plane.
Oh my God, Erin, that's so not like you. You never even wanted to date anyone with a plane,
but
you want that for Charles.
But I want that for Charles.
Erin, I appreciate that you have a personal.
A lot of guys with planes asked you out and you said no, but interesting that you're looking for that for Charles.
Guys with planes just didn't ever get me going, but guys with planes for Charles does get me going.
Oh.
I'm glad that makes Erin happy. I feel like, yeah, We're on the journey. We're going to find it. I feel like you guys have been very supportive on that journey. Once again, shout out to Sarah. She let me bring a date to her birthday.
Easy with
in
where
Hawaii.
You're. Let's not be too detailed on what you're about to say. You know, we were all just in Hawaii.
For no reason.
For no reason.
We went to Hawaii.
Shut up, Erin. Just shut up and let Charles
talk.
We
weren't celebrating anything while we were there. Continue.
Continue, Charles.
No, I mean, once again, this is something I just appreciate about you all. And once again, Sarah's generosity. I am in amazing position to be with you all and your families and your kids on this vacation. And I wish, I've never asked if I could bring a date on a trip with you guys. And Sarah, without batting an eyelash, was like, obviously, of course. It was such a great experience and it was so fun. And we all
it
had
was
a good
actually
time.
So funny, because Charles has never, I mean, I've never been on a trip with you and a guy ever. And Charles is like, hey, so what if I brought this guy with me to Hawaii? And I, like, said to Simon, I was like, well, what if he sucks? Like, what if we're stuck in a house with this guy? And, like, what if he's, like, shitty and ruins the trip? And Simon was like, Erin, literally in 20 years, Charles has never asked to bring a guy. And your first reaction is like, what if it ruins our trip? And he's like, tell him right now. Of course. I was like, I'm just saying, what if this guy sucks? And, like, that's who we have to have dinner with.
We're not happy. Single day.
No, but it ended up being fantastic.
And Erin liked that guy better than she liked me.
Oh, he was great.
I'm literally, like, I'm still not over the breakup.
We really liked him.
Well,
I'm still in contact with him.
He dumped me after that trip. So maybe that's your fault. Maybe we can blame that on you.
He dumped you after that trip. And I was fully like, wait, I'm siding with him. Like, I'm definitely going, like, I'm definitely not Team Charles on this one. Because I was really devastated by that breakup. Because listen, not that to make it about me, but
about you.
I was excited to be friends with you and a partner. I was excited to do a couples trip with me and Simon. Like, by the way, being a third wheel honestly is so fun. I was a third wheel forever and it's the best and I love it. But there's something really special about being in a couple where other people really enjoy your partner. And it took me so long to find that. And I was so excited that you found that. And I was like, this really works well for me.
Oh, I bet Simon's dying for that.
And
he probably does want that.
And this person is a great guy and was amazing on the trip and deeply bonded with Valentina.
He did. Also,
Valentina loved him. We all loved him.
Listener of the pod, guys. Listener.
Oh, he listens to the pod?
Yeah, listener.
No way.
Listener. Okay, wait.
How do you know he's a listener?
If you're listening,
wait, how do you
come back to us?
Hold on. How do you know he's a listener?
Because he told me. He listens.
When did he tell you?
What, you need the date?
Yeah, I'm just curious.
He told me he loves the pod. Okay, if you're listening, can we make this work again? I am ready.
Erin!
I want you back personally. I need you in our lives. We are ready. Charles, we're ready, right?
Erin, you know, just making it awkward. Why not?
I know, literally the worst. You're the worst. Charles, give me more compliments after she just did that.
Okay, so there another question we have is...
So are you a New Yorker for life?
I'm literally in the middle of a sentence.
I know, but you took too long. Are you a New Yorker for life?
I'm a New Yorker for now. I mean, I think I'm really enjoying it. Also, I moved to New York right before the pandemic, so I feel like I haven't even experienced it in all its glory, but I'm having the best time right now.
Okay. Aaron said that was a stupid question.
No, I just like the East Coast, West Coast thing just seems a little...
Maybe to you. But to me, I liked the question and someone fucking asked it. So answer your own question.
Can I just say, Sarah, you've been quite hostile today.
Oh, well, you've got a little bit of an attitude.
I don't think I have any attitude.
But if I'm going to be Charles, I'll say, thank you for the feedback. I will revisit it and get back to you on my thoughts towards your bitchiness. Right, Charles? Is that it?
I don't think that's
how
you're supposed
to do it. I might tweak it here and there, but did you see how that just lowered Erin's blood pressure? I've trained her up for you, Sarah. So if you really get into this lingo, it'll be better for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sarah's been quite aggressive today.
Okay, ask a question.
Okay, well, this one just happens to be a little bit about me. But I didn't ask it. Somebody else asked it. They said, when and how did you know that Simon was the one for Erin?
I think as soon as I met Simon, because Simon has an extremely calm and confident energy, and you realize that as soon as you met him, or as soon as you meet him. And I think when I saw that, and I saw their interaction, and I saw the effect that it had on Erin, it gave me a lot of confidence, because a lot of the guys that Erin dated made her spiral. And correct me if I'm wrong, Erin, but I never saw Simon make you spiral. It just moved very nicely, one. And then two, you two communicated. I mean, you two could communicate from really early on, which so many other guys, I never saw that really happen with you.
No, it's
very true.
No, he did not ever make me spiral.
So, so true.
Very consistent.
How did you get so lucky?
I don't know. I really don't know.
What did she
do? It was meant to be.
Yeah. How do you advocate for yourself at work?
I think it's important to build a great relationship with your manager. And if you can, really get on the same page about what your goals are, what you're trying to do, and, you know, get that person on board with helping you on that journey. I think that's part one. It goes back to the relationships. Part two, you know, obviously you want to have that North Star and know where you're going, and you want to be clear on what you've done. Keep track of all of that and be honest about what you're looking to learn. So you want your manager to know and your colleagues to know your contribution. And then you want your manager to really be able to guide you and help you get the experience that you want, because that's going to help you grow. When someone is looking for a promotion and they've been honest and really you've helped them learn that they wanted more management experience or be able to work through tough conversations or a huge cross-functional effort, when they can come to you and say, hey, I wanted to learn these things, and check, 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 I did all this stuff, I think I'm ready for the next level. I'm ready for the next thing. It's really helpful in being able to advocate for yourself.
Gosh, so well spoken. I have a very serious question. How does it make you feel when Erin makes fun of your socks?
Well, I've been attacked by Erin for 20 years, so it's nothing new.
She's really mean and aggressive about your socks.
Listen, it's something that triggers her. We should probably do work on that and see where this originates. She is anti-ankle. There's no question. But I will say an ankle sock in the New York winter is not great. So I am feeling pretty fly with all my new socks.
Who traumatized you that wore ankle socks?
You know, I watched Charles really grow into this adult version of himself with this great
He wears
career.
Like Loro Piana. He like...
Yeah, with these like great clothes, very high end. And then he would take his socks off and be wearing these like Vans, like ped socks that just cover your the tips of your toes and your ankles. And all I would think is like, oh, if this was like a guy in my home taking his shoes off and that's what I saw, I would be like, get out of my house. Like, you have not grown up and like, you can't be here. And Charles is such an adult. I was like, you need adult socks. I needed like him to have like a grown man's accomplished person's socks.
So which ones did you get him?
I got him a lot of socks. I got him Ralph Lauren. I got him House of Thieves. What's Cash's company?
Oh yeah. People love
Pair of Thieves.
Pair of
people
Thieves. Love those socks. Those are great.
Yeah. Got him a lot of good socks and you've been wearing them, right?
I've been wearing them. Listen, Erin, I really appreciate your feedback. I just want to say that on the sock situation.
And
I've taken that feedback and I've grown. So thank you,
really
you for
have.
Mentoring me. And I appreciate it all.
And I appreciate you listening to the feedback after 20 years and finally taking it and putting it into use and wearing real socks. I hope that you wear real socks through spring and you don't switch back to
your... Is he allowed to wear flip-flops in the summer?
Hell no.
So what is a man supposed to wear in the summer? Birkenstock? No. That's
yeah, a Birkenstock is okay.
I like a Birkenstock. Especially the rubber ones. They're great. And they can get wet and it's not a big deal.
What tennis shoe do you wear?
I usually wear Common Projects. Those are my favorite.
I feel like everyone successful
I've been influenced by Jordan, and I've been buying StockX shoes that she posts.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, Jordan needs a piece of this StockX. She's gotten a lot
of
people on StockX.
She's like a sneaker influencer.
I feel like all tech guys wear On sneakers. I feel like that's a sign that you're in tech if you have a On sneaker. So maybe you need some On sneakers.
Charles, what makes you hire someone at Instagram?
Oh.
It's really about someone that, one, has a passion for the product, they use it, they live and breathe, kind of what we're about, what we're trying to do, the communities that are Instagram, that's really important. Two, I really look for someone that's going to be a great cultural fit, someone that wants to work across teams, work through hard issues, you know, really looking to grow at the company and build and great interpersonal skills. All that's super important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good answer.
That is a good answer.
What do we talk about for our last 3 minutes that we have?
Well, let me tell a story maybe.
Great.
Yeah.
About, it's just so crazy for where we are today. So speaking of travel and speaking of trips and speaking at the beginning of Erin and I's relationship, I went, and speaking of Jordan, the first trip I ever went on when Erin and I first knew each other was Jordan's 21st birthday in Vegas.
Where was I?
In Vegas.
Sarah, you didn't go.
I don't think so.
Did you not go?
Where'd you guys stay?
You're a monster.
The Wynn.
Oh, no, I was there for that.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, I remember I went for a walk with Steve Wynn around the pool.
What?
Yeah, I'll tell that story another time. Well,
oh, my God.
I was there.
I was such an innocent. I just met Erin. I had no idea what I was walking into. We went on a private plane. I'd never been on a private plane. It blew my mind.
How'd you guys get a private plane?
I didn't know like where to leave my car. I didn't know anything. I had like pulled up in my like old station wagon. It was crazy. And I didn't know how to gamble. And your dad said, Charles, you should go gamble. And he gave me a $100 bill to gamble. And I kept it and bought groceries for like 6 weeks for that $100 bill. I pretended to go to a table and gamble, but my brain doesn't work that way. And I'll just like never forget it. And then also got experience. Like I shared a room with Erin and started to see, you know, all her monstrous activity, something about dry skin, et cetera. But it's incredible. And to think about like all the 20 years after that, it's just super special to me. So love you both immensely.
I love that story. You kept the $100. That's so cute.
Yeah, genius. You should. I mean, who's going to gamble that when you like need it?
I love that story. I didn't know that story.
Yeah, that was the beginning of you and I being roommates in hotel rooms together.
Exactly.
Well, you two have a beautiful friendship.
We do.
You know.
Been through so much and you're also here.
Thank you.
You are also here. And Charles, we love you. And this was a great episode. Thank you for being
such
here.
A good, you know, people have really requested you. This wasn't
great.
Just like you have been requested.
Listen, well, I'm honored and flattered to be requested.
And we love you. Thank you, Charles.
We love you. Thank you for taking time out of your crazy schedule. Where are you traveling to next?
I am going to Austria. I'm going to Park City. We're all going to be in Park City. Together.
We're all going to Park City.
And then I'm going to Austria on Tuesday for a couple weeks.
So jealous of that.
All right, follow Charles on Instagram. Follow Charles on Instagram. What's your handle?
It's at Charles Porch, like a front porch.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know what his handle was?
I just didn't know if the handle was his full name. Follow him. He's a great follow.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. We love that.
You. Love See you, Charles. You in 48 hours in Deer Valley. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this podcast, leave a rating and review.
This podcast is executive produced by...
Can you not use that voice?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to sound...
Yeah, but you don't need to make it sexy.
This podcast is executive produced by...
Do you have a normal voice?
Yeah. Aaron Foster, Sarah Foster, and Allison Bresnick.
Okay, I'll take over. Our associate producer is Montana McBierney. Our audio engineer is Josh Windisch. This show is hosted by Simplecast.
See, that didn't sound nice.
That sounded great.